Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
All right, well, welcome back. And we've just kind of gone through the structure of a constitutional county, the structure or how you can actually begin creating constitutional counties in your county, your state, and so forth. You can create a small team or what have you. But you have the ability, if you're just willing to make phone calls, you're willing to take the effort. Sometimes it's just a matter of applying basic math. And what I mean by that is if you understand the formula of work, work equals force times distance. Once you've applied some force times distance, that means you've actually got something done. Now, if you've just applied force, you know, like isometric exercise, you may have been exercised, but you got no work done. Nothing has happened. Nothing has accomplished. Force, if you start pushing on a log and you don't move that log, then you have not done work. You've exercised yourself, but no work has been accomplished. Once you've moved that log a foot, then you've had work done. It's one man log, foot length, whatever. And so however you want to create the metric for that. But bottom line is, if your work is getting phone calls done, then get your Rolodex out and, you know, time yourself. How much time does it take for you to make some phone calls and getting people together? How much time does it take to have a meeting, to call and say, I need to have a meeting? And as a matter of fact, I've actually heard people talk about this. Paul Venable, I remember, was telling, I believe, I'm going to get this story probably wrong because it's been a long time ago since he's told me this, but he, you know, was living a life and he had all different, you know, things happen in his life. And all of a sudden, one day, it just hit him. That's it. We're going to do something. And he actually pulled out the Constitution and started teaching the Constitution. And that was like, I'm going to guess it was like 20 years ago when he started doing that. And, you know, he really saw a lot of work done because it was about phone calling people. And actually what he did, he started doing things in his home. I mean, he was having meetings in his home and teaching people. And he actually saw how some people got developed. As a matter of fact, he can point to people that are prominent, that have videos and so forth, that he actually taught in his home. And so what that is what he has done is he's actually got work done because he started using work as far as the formula goes by using force time, or he started creating work by force times distance. So, you know, I had no intent in bringing this up, but bottom line, I try to start each of the shows with trying to impress you either that now is the time, now it's now or never, or what does it take? What's it going to take to get you to act? Well, let me try something different. Let me just say that it's really easy to act. You just have to do it. It's like running. You know, the hardest step is the first step in a marathon race, in any race you do, in any time you exercise. The hardest step is always the first one. You're doing a bunch of sit-ups, the first one is the hardest. Because once you've done the first, then it's just easier to keep going. And it gets easier and easier and easier. And creating an exercise regime is, you know, tough because you have to start it. But once you start it, it's easier to keep it going. Now, here's a key. This is one of the things I learned from from the Success Motivation Institute. And this is an old-time institute that used to teach people how to become successful. And it was long before Franklin Covey, and it was back in the days of Peter Drucker. And the key to becoming successful, and successful in whatever it is you're doing, is you have to make something a habit. And they believe that if you can do something for 30 days, or not do something. Let's say you're trying to break a habit. Don't do it for 30 days. And in so doing, you've created a new habit by not doing something. And the first day, two, of not doing something or trying to do something is difficult, you know, getting that first step each day. But it gets a little easier after the first day. After you've broke inertia, it's easier to continue. And it doesn't take anything to stop. It doesn't take anything to basically distract you. So what you have to do is you really have to guard this time that you take in exercising, getting work done. You have to guard your work if you want to get work done. And unfortunately, there's way too many people that get paid by the hour instead of getting paid by the job. Because in all honesty, if America was being paid by the job, we'd be far more productive. And this concept of union, this concept of getting paid for non-productive time, non-productive hours, that's crazy. Would you hire somebody to install your cabinets or do work on your property and you're just paying them by the hour and you're going to have to pay them for non-productive hours? Are you kidding? So what people do is they try to hide non-productive hours in their billing and so forth. And is that honest? It's not honest. And so I get it that, you know, everybody wants to cover their overall costs and so forth. But if it's related to, like, administrative costs, okay, you're actually paying for this cost or this cost. But when it comes to non-productive costs, in other words, it brings no productivity. It doesn't make you, because you had to buy a tool, you're now more productive. Okay, well, you fold that in. You fold that the availability of that tool, and you increase your hourly wage a little bit. But charging people for non-productive hours crosses that threshold of immoral, because you're actually asking somebody to give you something for nothing. When, you know, there is no such thing as something for nothing, but it's nice. It's great. And as a matter of fact, in America, people all the time get something for nothing. So how is it that we're not having an inflated economy? Because just what little work is getting done is costing more and more and more because people aren't doing, they're not being productive. And so I remember in Hawaii, in a warehouse where I was working, as a vendor, the manager of the warehouse, I wasn't an employee there. I was just a vendor bringing stuff in and moving it through the sales room and so forth. And anyway, the manager of the sales floor had a little sign that, you know, was all over the walls, but just this little sign. Everywhere you looked, you saw this little sign. If you've got time to lean, you got time to clean. That's productive hours. Coming up with doing something, if you can't get that done, then be productive. And so it just sends that message that, you know, we're paying you to be productive. We're not paying you to just sit around. Anyway, it goes the same with these efforts, with this, you know, creating a constitutional county. You can do it. There's a lot of distance that needs to be covered, and it's going to take some force, but you can do it. And as a matter of fact, as you get other people helping you, you'll realize that you're really not doing it all. You just started it. You were just the bomb. You were just the catalyst, the spark, the fire that got the fire moving. And, you know, hopefully you get recognized for that. But if you're doing it strictly for recognition, then I'll let you sleep on that. Anyway. There's a lot of things we want to cover, but what we need to cover is the Bill of Rights. And what I'm going to be covering, and I'm going to try to remember to say this every day we cover this in the next couple of days, I'm going to do a real high-level firing through what we call the Bill of Rights. And where do you find this document? It is on Reclaiming the Republic Take Action page. And it is, I need to go there, because if I don't go there, then I'm not really telling you you know, what the title is, because I call it the Bill of Rights, but it's not the Bill of Rights. The file name is the Bill of Rights for 2022. But the name that you'll find on, or the caption It says a Bill of Rights for the 21st Century, but the title of the document is Comprehensive Constitutional Positions to Campaign on for State, County, and Federal Elections. Now, this is what we used, and we went through this last April, May, and June. It took about 2 months to cover all of this. I'm not spending 2 months now. We'll dive into this in the new year. I'm going to go over this, so if you want to kind of flip through this or at least download this. Now, this is not a book. This is not a clean document that makes, it makes sense, but it's not designed to state, full sentences. It's not about grammar. It's about just ideas being thrown onto paper to actually prove to you the overwhelming issues that we are being confronted, or actually we're being assaulted on by our government. Our government has gone so far outside their delegated powers that they are a criminal institution, or I should say the politicians that are operating it have turned it into a criminal institution. And so we have a way of getting it back, but the process of doing that is demanding full compliance of the Constitution. We need to demand that every public servant fulfills their oath of office. See, the good Lord gave us a system that could not do any of these things unless we allowed them. And even if we allowed them, it doesn't make it legitimate. And they can create all these illegitimate problems, and we're the ones that have to clean it up. And there may be some cost to that. We'll be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay. Excuse me. Okay. So when we start looking at the very top of this, and I've covered this quite a bit, but I still need to cover this in detail. A long, long time ago, as the federal government started creeping their responsibility, they felt it was necessary to start documenting how they are redefining the Constitution. Which means that they have this pliable liberty to do whatever they want. Now, when we went through Madison's notes on nullification and as well as Madison's report on the Virginia resolutions, he came right out and said only the states have the power to make that Constitution pliable, to change it. That is what you find right there in Article 5. The federal government cannot make changes to the Constitution without three-fourths of the states authorizing it, period. So if they come along, if the Supreme Court comes along and says, this is now constitutional, folks, help me out here. Where in the heck are we going to find that the Supreme Court in Article 5 has the ability to make something constitutional? Do you see it there? No, only Congress can submit recommendations to the states to actually create an amendment to the Constitution to make something constitutional. The Supreme Court can only determine whether what has happened is within the jurisdiction and whether it is a violation of the Constitution or not. That is only those things under their jurisdiction. In other words, did a state violate the Commerce Clause by, you know, committing some type of economic warfare like California and their EPA rules? That's economic warfare against the other states. Now, it's one thing for California to go to the federal government and say, we're not going to import any vehicles with these standards, but they have no business telling another state how to make a car. You know, it's like we have no business of how California is going to create and people rise up in their politics and destroy that state. It's none of our business. It is the federal business, and it is our business when they violate the Constitution. And we have a right to petition them and demand that they start complying to the Constitution. That's the mechanism. So this Constitution that they created is actually called the Annotated Constitution. Now, the Annotated Constitution is, again, what they have now referred to as the Living Constitution. And this is an abomination because this is where the federal government, like I said, and it's over 3,000 pages, folks. It's going on 4,000 pages of how they're defining, how they're going to enforce this, how they view this particular clause and what it means to them. They're making this up as they go along, and they have no authority to do this. So the most important thing that we need to do at the county level and the most important thing we need to do at the state level, and actually as everybody starts doing this. Now, see, I've asked, and I wanted to find somebody, and I've gotten people that have come back to me and said, yeah, we'll do this. But they've taken no, I mean, I have used a little force and distance, calling people, explaining this to them to say, don't you want to get on board doing this? But not one person has actually said, let's do this, and actually started, you know, creating a schedule for their organization to say, we'll take the lead, because that's exactly what I was looking for. I'm not an organization. So when I call an organization, I'm laying it out there to say, will you, Constitution Party, do this? Will you host this forum on definitizing the Constitution? Nothing. And I'm getting that. I got lots of people to say, yeah, that's a good idea. We need to do that. But nobody's doing it. Nobody's actually saying, okay, we're setting the date for January 2023. Now, if you look at the Wyoming bill, and if you look at the roles and responsibilities of this committee at the state level, the first thing every state committee needs to do that creates this federal review or republic review committee, what they have to do is they absolutely have to definitize the Constitution before they audit it. You have to actually go through and delineate, is the organic Constitution, is the original Constitution text of Articles 1 through Article 7 that was ratified by the 13 states and the ratified amendments. Now, what we need to do just to definitize this, we have to just go ahead and move forward and accept all of the ratified amendments. The only way we can get rid of an amendment is if you can prove by going through the auditing process that the evidence overwhelmingly proves that this Amendment was unconstitutionally ratified. Now, there's evidence that the 16th and the 17th Amendments were ratified unconstitutionally, that there wasn't actually 38 states that did it. There is accusations and allegations that the 14th Amendment wasn't constitutionally ratified. That doesn't hold water because most people felt, you kind of had this irresistible force and the immovable object, right? And there were lots of people that created, and I'll just tell you, it is a confusing quagmire because Lincoln unconstitutionally stated that states could leave the Union. However, they did leave the Union. Lincoln was wrong, and the states could leave the Union. And we have evidence that Madison and others clearly identified that if the compact is being violated, those parties who felt it's egregious enough can leave. Thomas Jefferson, basically through the nullification process, said, hey, any state can nullify a law, but they need to separate from the Union to do so, because you can't be a part of the Union and not accept what the laws are or how the Union has to behave. They all have to behave together. So anyway, as we look at this whole quagmire of the 14th Amendment, it's one of those things that's not going to be easily taken off the table. But I will submit, folks, if you look at what the 14th Amendment does, it protects the people from the cabals in the states, and it keeps the states from being able to go back and do very nefarious things. There have been people that have been murdered because the states were able to violate the laws and be able to do things that were absolutely repugnant to this Constitution and this constitutional republic. And so when we go down this path, I mean, the federal government was playing games like that too. Our government has done really bad things to us. That they've only been able to do that when we've allowed them to violate the Constitution. So definitizing it and understanding what the Constitution means and what all these 28 amendments mean, yeah, there's 28, then understanding how they were described, and all this documentation is available. We can go through every congressional discussion of how they defined each of these amendments. And I'm telling you, folks, what you hear about the 14th Amendment and how Congress was doing dirty deeds with the 14th Amendment, no. There's no evidence of that. And if you want a copy of the 14th Amendment, as far as, as far as everything the Congress debated regarding that 14th Amendment, then come pull the 263 pages off of my website. It's right there on my podcast page, the Red State Talk Radio podcast page off of reclaimingtherepublic.org. Now, definitizing this, what it does is it closes all arguments on what the Constitution is in any other form. And what this does is it takes it to the state, and the state definitizes and declares that no other constitution, no other definitions are constitutional, that this is the only thing that we as a state will recognize, and how these things were decided and clarified and explained and defined in the ratification debates. So what they'll do is they'll go through the Constitution, and each line of the Constitution, that there is clarifications within, like the preamble, the very first few, we the people, in the pursuit of, or whatever, and I'm sorry, you know, most people do memorize all these words, but I don't. But anyway, the preamble, there are plenty of states that actually defined what that preamble meant. And so you'll basically click on a link that will take you to what those definitions are. What we don't want to do is we don't want to clutter the Constitution with words that are, you know, describing it that aren't a part of the text. So what we do is we actually have these little footnote hyperlinks that you'll actually click on, and it'll take you to a page or multiple pages that go through how each of the states clarified that one line, that one section, that one little phrase, what have you. And so this becomes a definitized or canonized constitution. And in doing this, it takes away the jurist's ability to say, well, I interpret it to be this one. You know what? You don't have the authority to interpret. You've got plenty of clarifications of what that was and how they described that particular clause or line. And so shut up, put the pen down, and make a ruling, because it was clear enough that anybody in this world can determine that that power is not delegated, and nor is that clause a portal to be able to assume any new powers like the General Defense and Welfare Clause. And in so doing, it takes away the jurist's ability to become, you know, activists from the bench, being able to push laws down our throats and doing things that are absolutely violations. There's a lot of people. There are a lot of people, both in black robes, politicians, and, you know, that are being honored all over, that deserve to be dug up and burned in effigy. We'll be right back after this.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
You know, I know there was a mouthful going into the break, but I just got under the line and didn't interrupt the break. But yes, there are a lot of people. There is a plethora of former politicians and people who have lived that deserve to be dug up and burned in effigy if that's what makes you feel better. The fact is that we just need to get into compliance and move forward on compliance and start demanding full compliance moving forward. We can allow and we can actually seek justice for those people who are alive. But the bottom line is, maybe we put asterisks in our, but we need to correct our history. All of our history, instead of using asterisks, we need to actually go through and identify, you know, how Jimmy Carter violated the Constitution, how Ronald Reagan, every single president that has lived, going even all the way back to, you know, George Washington really behaved so restrained that he made sure that he either had congressional approval. I mean, there was very few times. And when he acted on his own as president by like setting a non-alliance, being neutral policy based on the recommendation of Jefferson or whatever, he actually didn't act alone. But in some of the things that he did, you know, he did the right thing. So Thomas Jefferson, I mean, John Adams obviously violated the Constitution with the Alien Sedition Act. So we could just go through and we can be honest. And we need to be honest of how things actually were done, you know, like the Assumption Act. Even the Assumption Act, which was a violation of the Constitution, Washington didn't want to sign it until he went around and got the sentiments of the states. You know what? There's nowhere in the Constitution that says, hey, if the sentiments of the states is it's okay. No. You know, you can't just do that. You have to amend the Constitution. And Washington knew this. So none of our presidents have ever really been perfect. But that's just because we've never had a mechanism and never had the ability to say, is the Constitution being violated? Is there any part of what this bill is going to do that is not within the enumerated powers? If so, the bill must be stricken. And they got to go back. And they've got to live within the enumerated powers. And folks, I'm telling you, the state governments need to come together and step up and actually take back their powers and then come up with better ways for themselves, collectively, to actually educate or to execute education, to execute energy policies without the federal government being involved. There are things we can do. But bottom line, definitizing the Constitution is the process that we have to start with. Because now once we completely understand what the Constitution is and how it has to be enforced, then we can audit. And as we audit the Constitution, or I should say the federal government against the Constitution, because that's the whole part of an audit. You look at the contract and say, okay, the contract gave you these powers. And then you start looking at what the contractor, which is the federal government in this case, you look at what they're doing and say, oh, where did we give you the power? We do not have the power to operate education, to even dictate energy policies, to do this, to do this, to do this. I mean, your only ability in policies are foreign policies. You have no policies to inflict upon the states. The states are sovereign. Where in the heck do you get off thinking you have that authority? Boom. And you start peeling back, identifying, and you don't peel them back one at a time. You just basically go through them all at once and you say, okay, all of these things are unconstitutional. They go into this bin of dismantling. This is where we literally begin going through the process of giving directives to the federal government that they must dismantle the Department of Education, that they must dismantle the Department of Energy, to dismantle the Department of Housing, the Department of Health and Human Services, the Department of Labor, so forth and so on. So environmental protection, I mean, there's so many different things, offices, agencies, all of these things can be dismantled. Now, there's millions of people that are going to hate me because they're going to lose their jobs. But they think that they're really going to lose their jobs when there may be still, I believe that there will be a greater opportunity in the states for people to just relocate and change over to the states if the states themselves think that that's a worthy cause. You know what? There's a lot of people. You know, I'll give you a career. If you know anybody that is going to college and doing social services and getting social engineering and those types of degrees, then you need to tell them, say, hey, you know, there's really not a future in that. If there's a future in that if communism wins. But if communism doesn't win, then you're going to need to get retrained, re-educated, just so you can be productive. Because I'm telling you, folks, social engineering, social services, all of this social, you know, career paths is, you know, it's not needed here. Now, if you really want to do that, then you need to find a government and a country that, you know, tickles your fancy, you know, makes you feel at home, and go there and apply your social services. But this country itself is going to go back to individuals' liberty and individual sovereignty, where government is going to lose their controls and their ability to control the sovereign citizens of this republic. So also let's also put this on the horizon. As America starts actually correcting its positions, one of those positions is our foreign policy and entanglement and engagement. We need to stop getting involved in any country that does not want to actually be an actor in creating sovereign citizens and being a sovereign state with individual liberty and individual sovereignty as the building blocks of that nation. In other words, if they don't want to become a state in the United States, that's fine. But we're not going to fight their wars for them anymore. We're not going to do that. What we will do is we will continue to build ourselves to be able to fight off the world, because if you're not a state in the United States, then you're an enemy. You're a foreign entity that will not be trusted. We can't have open trade with those who actually support liberty, but every other because look, folks, almost every country has gone socialist. How can we actually have an open and honest relationship with these other countries? As a matter of fact, our old policy was we did no trading, we did no business with communist nations. It wasn't until Nixon threw us over the barrel and basically made with China a most favored nation status and gave them preferences over trade and opportunities. We actually subsidized the Chinese Communist Party to be the biggest enemy to us today. They're there because of us. They're not there because they could do it on their own. It's the same thing with Russia. We rebuilt Russia after World War II to be a formidable energy or entity and enemy. And the reason we do these things, folks, is so that we actually have this race, this impetus. It's a manipulation to make everybody feel, oh, well, we could go to war, so we need to spend this kind of money over here and do these types of things. We're being set up for the final stage. And whether that final stage, and I think many people in America have been so conditioned that they will actually surrender their liberty instead of actually being willing to fight a war. Now, I think there's way too many people that are that way, but I believe that there's enough people in America that will actually defend America, that will actually defend liberty. And the way I'm seeing it, the next war, if there's going to be a war, a world war of conflict, we may have it here in America. Because with Biden, if Trump comes back, it may be a little different because he does have a strong policy against what we would call hostile nations like China. He didn't take crap from China, but he didn't do what he should have done. He should have actually started pushing China into the corner by going to Taiwan and Hong Kong and saying, you guys need to have an open election so you can determine whether you want to become states in the United States, because then Taiwan would be a forward operating base for us. We would have ICBMs and all sorts of things in Taiwan by now if Trump would have done what he needed to do. Now, when we start looking at all of the other countries, Crimea and the rest of the countries that these manipulators have gone into, like the Ukraine, we're equally manipulating. We need to pull everything back, and we need to get out of the business of doing this exporting of germ warfare, biological warfare, chemical warfare, all this crap, and actually, just start focusing on American sovereignty and building a stronger world through liberty and having that type of policy and, determining whether we engage with folks. Now, we cannot relinquish our presence in the ocean. We cannot relinquish our presence that's, out there. So that when we look at, to be honest, when we look at our foreign commerce, we need to be able to protect our commerce, but we are not obligated to protect all ships that are in the commerce lanes. And so we need to actually let every country know, If you want to enjoy your security and commerce, you have to help us. We'll be right back.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org. So you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so getting back to this, because I've gone down a few rat holes, getting back to definitizing the Constitution, this really does help America start understanding how, if we're in compliance, we will have a more secure world, we'll have a more secure life, and we'll actually, because we have to be active in securing that. And so we'll go through some of these top-level content or these top-level topics, and enforcing the Constitution becomes a part of that Republic Review process. Once we finally enforce and basically told government, you don't have these abilities to do this, this kind of opens up and sets the stage at the state level and county level to actually start cleaning up the government. Because by this point in time, we should now finally be coming to a point of understanding what good government is and what we need to do to improve and secure our liberties even better. And some of the things that we need to do is we need every county to create its own constitution. And once the counties have their own constitutions, then they need to go and rewrite the state constitution so that the state constitution supports the counties and converts or moves the state government to a more of a general government than the, like, just like the federal government, and becomes a supporter to the counties. Because folks, we the people have rights in a Republican form of government, and have, and the way this is designed is to have our representation that affects the majority of our life and all the domestic things that we want government to do right there in our county. They should be available to us. They shouldn't be operating out of D.C. They shouldn't be operating out of your state capital. They should be operating right there out of the seat of government of your county. And so we have a distributive political energy type of government where the powers are distributed closest to the people. And based on that, because that came from Thomas Jefferson, he basically said that the power of government needed to be closest to the people. Well, what government is that? It's not the states. So we need to change our paradigm and get away from centralized government and start embracing the concept of distributive government. Now, as we go through the rest of these, the next one that is really a lesson that we actually start having to understand is a Republican form of government. As you understand, sovereignty is distributed. No, people aren't the only sovereigns. When people establish a government, they actually establish a sovereign over those things that you delegate. In other words, you basically, in the constitutions, you delegate to that sovereign state that you're creating, that sovereign entity, your governors, your legislators, this government that you're creating, you're delegating to them the authority that they have over what parts of your life. If you do not delegate it, then they can't meddle with it. This is why we need to really focus down, you know, education. The only place where education should be relevant, the only place where the curriculum and those types of things should be discussed would be at the county level, not at the state. The state can't be the mechanism of driving down. It needs to be a bottom up. And so the states can kind of create standards of basically saying, well, everybody agrees, you know, this type of math, this type of science, and so forth. And so they'll only provide what is agreeable to all as far as curriculum goes. But that actually has to be very specified so that you contain the state government's education system to only procuring materials. That's it. Or only supporting, you know, a certain amount of classroom facilities or that type of thing, that it's equally distributed by either student or what have you. But getting into education, that really opens the door of how we have to reimagine, or that, you know, because that's a progressive term, but how we have to basically change our education system to fit our model for the 21st century moving forward. And right now we have an archaic 19th century education system, and it is unacceptable. Our kids can learn faster, they can learn better. And the problem is that our children today have been dumbed down, and too many of our kids are on the path of becoming absolutely worthless to society. Absolutely worthless. This has to change. So anyway, a Republican form of government is distributive of sovereignty, a distribution of sovereignty over very specific things. The federal government has a level of sovereignty that is not shared. There's no government other than the federal government that can declare war, that can actually determine whether the United States is going to war or not. So they have very specific powers. Your state government has different powers. Your county government needs more powers and different powers than they have today, and they need to pull back powers from the states. That being said, they are sovereigns. So getting back to republicanism, in a republican form of government, sovereigns have representation. This was the brilliance in the design of our system. This is why our Congress and our legislative bodies are bicameral, because we have actual representation of not just the people, but that sub-element of government that is underneath the body of government that has representation. So in the federal case, that sub-element of government is the states. This is where the Senate represents the states and the House of Representatives represents the people. So the proper mechanism of getting representation in the Senate should come from the sovereigns of the states, which is why it was designed that the state legislatures need to be the ones that assign who are going to be the senators. And in the states, it should be coming from your county commissioners, who is going to represent the counties in the states in the Senate. Because the state Senate should be representing the county governments, the county sovereigns. And then the people of the county. See, this whole concept of legislative districts does not model with our Republican form of government. This was all done by Reynolds v. Sims unconstitutionally. And what they tried to do was they tried to equalize by population, smearing and basically marginalizing the sovereignty of your county government. And they're actually perverting, they're actually creating a grander state government than it should be. Because who created the states? The states were created by the counties, not by the people. It was the people of the sovereign counties that created the states. So going through all of this, it kind of helps you start understanding American republicanism and this concept of how our representation needs to be modeled, period. And so we need to start looking at when we write petitions that we make sure that it aligns with this tiered level of sovereignty of government and the people to appropriately address how things need to be done in fixing them moving forward. The Electoral College in representation is another one, because bottom line, who is the Electoral College? What do? They're your representative in choosing a president. And we've got to fix the Electoral College. Bottom line, and I don't have time to go through all of this, but there is no part whatsoever of the Electoral College in Article 2, Section 1, and the 12th Amendment that we're following. We've allowed the parties. So let's just say right now that our Republican form of government, as I kind of went through American republicanism, is in violent violation by the parties. The parties have taken away our form of government and have created a party form of government. And as far as I'm concerned, the parties have been very integral in the demise and putting America in such peril, because they have seized control and everything is done. And we make this case very often here. I mean, just look at, you know, this independent senator and what has ended up happening, because if our representatives in the Senate, the House of Representatives, and all these different levels of government, we have representatives. And if all of a sudden the party controls who gets to do what instead of we the people, then who's really in control? Who controls these committees? Well, why do they even have committees on things that they have no enumerated power over? You know, folks, the party is way out of control. And when I say the party, it's not just the party apparatus. It is the party ideological structure in government, because these politicians are actually the controllers of your party, whether you like it or not. Even though the party is you and, you know, you vote for these people, you have no control and you have no accountability with any of them. I mean, John McCain is a perfect example. Mitt Romney is another example. Mitt Romney is a John McCain too. And there's plenty of these. I mean, look at the gal in Maine. Look at, you know, Alaska. Look at some of these senators and elected officials that are supposedly Republicans, and they do not vote down the line of what one would consider a good Republican to do, because there's no such thing as a good Republican. We need to change the context to constitutionalist and a good citizen. Anyway, we're going to cover more of this. Our next episode is Feedback Friday. Tomorrow's Friday. So we'll cover more of this tomorrow after we cover the feedback. We'll be back. I'm Jerry Mobley, Reclaiming the Republic. We need your help. God bless.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.